keep that.
Yeah, I do want to keep this. Okay. Well, hey, everyone. I just wanted to thank you all for being here and thank the Freedom From Religion Foundation for bringing me here. And she said, to make a long story short, I'm going to make a long story long. So, as Katie said, I'm Harrison Hopkins. I'm 18 years old, and now I'm a freshman at Presbyterian College in Clinton, South Carolina. And before I get into my story, I should probably tell you all a little about my religious background. That was easy. I wasn't one of those kids ever forced to go to church, and I really, looking back, can't say that I was ever a believer. At the time, early elementary school, early middle school, I would have said, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but that's just because I didn't know what else to call myself. And it was about the middle of middle school, maybe seventh grade, that I found out about the term atheist, and then I finally knew what I would be able to call myself. And really, the only time the church was ever suggested to me throughout my, when I was a kid, was whenever I would go visit my grandma. And I can distinctly remember pretending to be asleep on Sunday morning so I wouldn't have to go with her. But school was a bit different. Being in South Carolina and North Carolina, church state violations really aren't much of a surprise. In fifth grade, the Gideons came to my school and passed out those little red New Testaments that they just loved to give to everyone. In eighth grade, there was a prayer said at my eighth grade graduation ceremony. And of course, my senior year of high school, there was the plan to put the whether or not to have prayer up to a vote by the senior class. I learned of that vote during my junior year. And the teacher who mentioned it said that because it was being voted upon by the students, that it's legal. But I thought that didn't sound quite right. So I went home and I started doing some research, and lo and behold, it was illegal. On the Friendly Atheist blog, I found about the case of Eric Workman. Some of you may remember him. He had pretty much the exact same situation in Indiana, and the ACLU was handling his case. I followed that case, and as it turned out, the courts in Indiana ruled in his favor. So I got, I might be able to do something about this. But that was my junior year, so I really didn't think about it anymore until the second semester of my senior year. I knew that the vote had to be coming up soon, so again, I started doing research, trying to find more similar cases. And that's when I found the case of Jessica Ahlquist, who, as you all heard, is another recipient of an award today. She had a Facebook group for supporting her cause. I won't go into what her cause was because she can do that. And I joined that group and just to follow it as it went on. It took a few more months, but finally I found out something more about the prayer vote. It was in early April that I found out from a member of student government that we were going to have a senior class meeting in a few weeks, and at that meeting was when we would vote for whether or not to have prayer. So I started looking up who I could file a complaint with, and the only one that I knew of at the time was the ACLU. But as I was looking up how to contact the ACLU, coincidentally, Jessica messaged me on Facebook. Back when I had joined her group, I had made mention in a group chat that there was a violation in my school that I might be interested in filing a complaint against. And she remembered that and decided to message me and ask how that was going, what I was going to do, if I was doing anything about it. And we talked for a while that night, and she pointed me in the direction of the Freedom From Religion Foundation as well. So that night, I think it was like 3 in the morning, April 13th, I had filed a complaint with both the ACLU and the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And I really did not expect to hear anything back for at least a few weeks, because on both sides it said we usually respond to requests in 4 to 6 weeks. So I was kind of thinking, I might graduate by the time. But no, actually the Freedom From Religion Foundation, I'm going to start saying FFRF because that's easier, messaged me the very next day and sent a letter to the school principal and superintendent that basically said, hey, what you're doing is illegal. Quit. And I got a bit excited, as expected, and there were only 5 days until the meeting, and those just passed at a snail's pace. And then, finally, it's April 19th, and the day of the meeting. We seniors were dismissed from class and congregated in the school's auditorium. The meeting went on, and there wasn't a vote. So things seemed great, but then I looked through the papers that they had handed out, and one of them was a page called Tips for Graduation, and it had things like, you need to arrive early, please do not cheer whenever your student's name is called. And then it had a sentence, the ceremony is not over until after the prayer and recessional. So as soon as I got out of school that day, I was on the phone calling Rebecca Markert, who was the staff attorney handling my case. I let her know that they actually didn't hold the vote, which is good, but that they had that piece of paper, which was bad. And the FFRF hadn't heard anything back by then, so they just sent another letter about the handout. And it wasn't until a few days later that the FFRF finally heard back from the school. And the letter started out pretty good. The school wrote back stating that after speaking with their legal counsel, they have decided to suspend the tradition of holding a vote on whether or not to have prayer at graduation ceremonies. But they went on to say that according to the South Carolina Student-Led Messages Act, they were unable to prevent speakers from saying whatever they wanted during the opening and closing remarks. But that's not the good part. The good part, which by good I mean hilarious, is that they mentioned that from their understanding, and I quote, no court with jurisdiction over South Carolina has held that a student-initiated prayer at a graduation ceremony is unconstitutional. So I guess they forgot about the Supreme Court, but it's South Carolina, we do these kind of things. But with that response from the school, I figured, okay, this has to be done now. There's probably going to be nothing else. But I was wrong. It took a couple of days, but people finally realized, hey, weren't we supposed to vote on prayer? The student government at the school was, of course, the first to know because the student body president was the one scheduled to deliver the speech, to deliver the prayer. And the news just trickled down from there. I had to get the information of when it was, I had to show distinct interest in the prayer, and being the only outspoken atheist at my high school, it was pretty much quickly linked back to me. And when I was asked about it by multiple people, I just said, yeah, I filed the complaint. And this caused a few arguments, mostly at my lunch table, but at this time they weren't too serious. Things got quiet again, but then somebody contacted the local news. It wasn't until one of my friends spotted the news van in front of the school that I knew that somebody had called the news. She stopped thinking that it was possibly related to the prayer, and it was. She asked them if they were interested in interviewing the person who filed the complaint, and yeah, of course they were. What kind of dumb question was that? So she called me, and the next thing I knew, I had to abandon my pizza dinner to get to the school in time to be interviewed. And that was the interview that aired yesterday. That was the only televised interview that I was a part of. But there were some other ones that aren't really too important. But then that night, the interview aired on the news channel, and things blew up again, even bigger than they had originally. I was flooded with friend requests on Facebook, and since they added me, I got to see their reactions to the cancellation. I started screenshotting them to keep a record of them. And some examples are: I think it's ridiculous that a prayer can't be said at our graduation because someone doesn't feel included. When have you ever been? And for those who got prayer taken out of my graduation, I'll pray for you. And then my personal favorite, which I'm quoting exactly. Now, I'm no fan of senseless violence, but this kid needs to be taken out back and have his ass kicked to beat some sense into him. Christian love right there. I took it all in stride, though. A person posted on my wall asking why I wasted my money on that, and he called me Devil Boy. And in school, somebody called me the Antichrist. So, later on in the year, when we signed yearbooks, guess what I signed with? Now, after this, tensions in the school were way up. A petition started circulating within the school and around the local community to get prayer added back officially to the ceremony. A prayer chain was planned to surround the school during the graduation ceremony. Any time that I walked through the halls at school, it was like all eyes were on me. But it wasn't actually like that. It was exactly that. Arguments flared up again during lunch, and this time they were so bad that I was called close-minded, and some girl refused to sit with us for a week. Rumors of people planning to beat me up started circulating, but nothing ever came from those. Thank God. But not everybody was against me. Through all of this, like I said, I had a few people who agreed with me at the beginning, and that was my best friend who was arguing to support me whenever people would bring it up. And actually, a lot of people were thinking that she was the one who filed the complaint for a few days, the ones who didn't hear that, oh, it was actually me. People would come up to me when I was walking through the halls and just tell me, hey, I'm an atheist. Thanks for standing up for us. It wasn't always just atheists, though. Sometimes I even had Christians coming up to me and say that they agreed with what I did. And I started getting messages on Facebook from people who had graduated in the years past and said that the prayer had made them uncomfortable and that they were glad to see that somebody had finally taken a stand against it. Over the next few weeks before graduation, I started speaking out more about it. I was interviewed for a local newspaper, which ended up writing what I consider the most unbiased coverage of the issue locally, and I sent them a thank you letter for that. I was interviewed for two radio shows, one in Rhode Island, and the other being the FFRS very own Freethought Radio. I've also been interviewed for two books about student activists that will include my story, this story. And I started working with other student activists. I'm sure some of you remember the Damon Fowler case, and when his story had been first posted on the website reddit.com, Jessica Alquist and I sent him messages and told him to talk to us. Later on, the three of us ended up doing a sort of interview on Reddit, and which received over 3,000 comments. Soon enough, it was June 2nd, the day of graduation. Going back to the prayer chain I mentioned earlier, they had tried getting permission to be around the school, but they weren't allowed to. So they had to move to a parking lot down the road. On the way to the graduation ceremony, we happened, purely coincidence, to drive by, and there were only about 20 people there. This is from a group that on Facebook had over 500 people saying that they were attending, so it worked out. But then it was time for the ceremony. It started, and the student body president began to speak. I'd like to thank our administration, our teachers, our parents, and there's also one more person I'd like to thank, and that person is God. Will you join me in prayer? Cheers erupted from the crowd both before and after the prayer, and pretty much everybody turned to look at me. I wasn't at all surprised. He had stated in an interview that he was still going to pray because that's what you do at big events like that. It's not what you do at big events like that, but that's what he thought. So I'd also known that there was going to be prayer because people had been bragging all over Facebook that all four student speakers at the ceremony would be praying. But they were wrong. That was the only prayer during the ceremony. But there was one other mention made by the valedictorian. He started off by stating that we should not have been so divided over the prayer controversy, as we were still classmates and we were still graduating together, so we shouldn't have turned against each other for that, which is a nice sentiment. Until he went on to state that he disagreed completely with those who were against the prayer, and that it only served to strengthen his faith. And, of course, he was met with cheers as well. After the graduation ceremony, I had a friend approach me and tell me that, again, he had overheard people planning to beat me up, but, again, nothing happened. I did end up, on the way back, when I was walking back to my car, I did end up having somebody yell, "God loves you," at me. Okay. That's going to change my views. And that pretty much ends my story at Lawrence District 55 High School. There's nothing that I can do about it anymore, as I've graduated, so I no longer have standing. But I'd like to think that my story in the secular movement had only just begun. In late June, I spoke at the Center for Inquiry Student Leadership Conference on a panel with the other student activists, Jessica Alquist, Damon Fowler, and Zach Copland. In July, I attended the Secular Student Alliance annual conference because over the summer, I was starting to look into what I would need to do to get a SSA affiliate started at Presbyterian College, which I may have mentioned this earlier. It is only 10 minutes away from my former high school. And that just paid off. As of last Sunday, the Secular Student Alliance at Presbyterian College is an officially recognized group at the school. And if that makes y'all happy, y'all will be probably even more happy to know that there was only one nay vote against it, and that was from a guy who absolutely nobody seems to like, from what I've heard. So, already I've received messages and emails from upperclassmen and alumni of PC who have said that they had wished that the group was around whenever they were a freshman and that they were glad to see one has finally started. With my group, I hope to continue to remain active in the secular movement, and I hope to get more people active as well. I hope to see non-religious students more accepted, not only on my own campus, but also at least in the surrounding community. I hope to help people see that they aren't alone. And even in the Bible Belt, there are non-believers just like them, and that they don't have to remain silent about it. And with that, we still have, we have a few more minutes left, and I was told that if I finish my speech early, we can do a Q&A session. So, I guess if y'all have any questions, or if y'all want to applaud, that works too.